Okay, five-year-olds who only ever pick fire types every time they have to choose a starter, today we're judging your decisions. I took like 2 weeks off of making tier slot videos, but I got a bunch of complaints regarding people not having anything to watch while they eat dinner. Sounds kind of like a you problem, so your mother and I have decided to limit your screen time to however long it takes to watch this video. Enjoy. Today we're ranking the fire type starters based off of their overall competitive viability. For this video, we'll be ranking with a heavy bias towards Pokemon that are currently considered competitively viable, but we'll be awarding bonus points for Pokemon that have been strong in the past or just have a long competitive history. Real basic stuff, but you'll find a problem with it anyways, I'm sure. Anyways, leave a like, subscribe, check out the Patreon, become a YouTube member. Let's just get into it. Wait, let me just, like, get this guy out of the way. We'll come back to him later. There's no point beating around the bush. We're gonna throw him into S tier. Behold, Charizard. You know, being a flying fire type in a competitive context is usually a huge red flag as far as viability goes. But luckily for us, in VGC, we only see Stealth Rocks twice a year at Christmas and Easter. That being said, as a doubles format, you're more prone to seeing Rock Slide get clicked. Although Charizard managed to not have that be its downfall even after all these years. Even with one of the most I was designed in Gen 1 stat spreads ever made, Charizard managed to keep up with the metagame year after year. And you could argue that this was mostly due to a combination of its various Game Freak granted gimmick forms, as for much of its modern career, it has been carried by Mega Evolutions and Dynamax. Not only did Charizard get a Mega Form, but Gen 1 favoritism meant that it was owed two, while Mega Charizard X was a powerful physical attacker combining its base 130 attack stat with Tough Claws and newly found Stab on Dragon moves, Mega Charizard Y was an absurdly powerful special attacker who would gain a massive 159 special attack stat and the ability Drought to set up Sun on Switchin. Both of these forms had their moment in the sunlight when it came to competitive, with both of them earning major tournaments. Tournament wins across the two generations that Mega Charizard was available. Even in Generation 8, once Mega Evolution was replaced with Dynamax, Charizard was granted an exclusive Gigantamax form to make up for its loss. This form, while not being given any stat or ability changes like a Mega Pokemon would, managed to be among the most broken Gigantamax Pokemon in the game due to its exclusive G-Max move, G-Max Wildfire. This move was a powerful fire-type attack, which would do the usual Dynamax business of bypassing Protect, dealing huge damage, and frankly, just looking really cool. Look, Dynamax was a trash format, but I can't deny that it went kind of hard sometimes. But rather than setting up Sun like a normal Fire Max move, it would engulf the opponent's side of the field in flames for four turns. During these four turns, any Pokemon that was not a fire type would lose 1/6 of their max HP. This meant that in just four turns, the opponent would lose 2/3 of their max health. On top of the damage they initially took, this was basically a death sentence. It was an oppressively strong Pokemon that managed to see play even late in the game's lifespan among titans like Dynamax, Groudon, and Calyrex Shadow in restricted formats. It was simply too strong to overlook, and it would make it into top 8 of the 2022 World Championships on the popular Rinya Sun team piloted by David Carrere. Even without these gimmick forms, Gen 9 Charizard still manages to maintain its relevance by leveraging its hidden ability Solar Power. Yeah, these are Gen 1 stats, so base 109 special attack isn't all that great today, but once you set up Sun for this guy, he'll be roasting things left and right like the 2019 Wendy's Twitter admin. Wait, did I seriously write that? That was so weak. He'll be roasting things like, I don't know, man, a hibachi chef? Yeah, man, I'm not on my A game today when it comes to writing these jokes. Oh well. Point is, a 30% boost to special attacks on top of a 50% boost to fire moves, on top of an additional 2x multiplier from terrestrializing into the fire type, and suddenly Charizard switches from hibachi mode to, well, cremation. There we go. My sincerest condolences to Rillaboom. I'll go get the dustpan for you. And to be honest, all this wouldn't be possible if it wasn't blessed with that base 100 speed stat nearly 30 years ago, since that's like the minimum speed you need to be able to pull off these sorts of hyper-offensive strategies. You manage to outspeed staples like Urshifu, Rillaboom, certain Landorus Incarnate sets, and of course, you speed tie with Chiyu. Charizard managed to be one of the most threatening Pokemon in Regulation H of VGC 2024, where it would run a Choice Specs Terra Fire set next to Jumpluff and Torkoal of all Pokemon. Don't get me started on why the modern competitive Sun team wouldn't look out of place in a Gen 6 RU match, because it's a really long story involving brand new held items and a surprising number of trips to Portland, Oregon. Charizard is easily the second best Pokemon on this list, with it even having a win at the Latin American International Championships under its belt this generation. This guy's going right into S tier. This channel is partnered with Gamersubs. If you want to support my work and get great tasting drinks, you can order Gamersubs through my link in the description down below or with code MOXIEBOOSTED at checkout for 10% off. Gamersubs is a caffeinated product that I recommend only to my 18 plus viewers, but my link will send you to their caffeine free product section just in case. Every product purchased through my link supports my channel financially, so I'd really appreciate the support. Now back to the video. Okay, we already burned our two top tiers, so it's all downhill from here on out, everyone. I'm gonna struggle to say much about many of these Pokemon, so I'm gonna have to dig for some information. Typhlosion is a Pokemon I'm sure you all have a lot of emotional attachment to, which is why this one's gonna be extra fun to talk about. Typhlosion has had almost 30 years to do something, and the greatest accomplishment it has so far, according to Limitless, is 15th at a regional in 2015 on a full starter team. So I can only assume Typhlosion was only there out of necessity for sticking to the bit. Thank you, Jim Sullivan. I'd love to hear more about this run if you're still on the internet. So, what makes Typhlosion so fundamentally worse than Charizard? I mean, they literally have the exact same stats. The thing is that Typhlosion lacks a good ability. Flash Fire and Blaze aren't doing you any favors since, one, who's gonna hit a fire type with a fire move, and two, Blaze boosts your power at low health, and your best move is only dealing max damage at full health. It's just not happening. Typhlosion is a Choice Scarf Eruption bot from now until the day it dies. Bottom of C tier. Okay, correction. Typhlosion has died, and it's still clicking Eruption. And shockingly enough, this somehow made it better at that. Hisuian Typhlosion has had the shortest career among the Fire-type starters in this video, so it's not earning any bonus points for its history. That being said, losing out on some speed to boost its special attack stat and become a Ghost-type has been the greatest buff this thing could possibly get. Hisuian Typhlosion can be described as a Charizard with training wheels, since its damage output just isn't quite as high, but it's far easier to position since it can't be flinched by Fake Out. Only thing is, rather than clicking Terrifier, Solar Power, Heat Wave, and Sun, it's going to be clicking Terrifier, Choice Scarf, Eruption, Sun, which is dependent on its HP stat. Good luck living Sucker Punch, though. It's had a fairly short but successful career, so it's gonna sit at a pretty generous A tier on my list. Not a lot seen from it yet, but what has been shown has been pretty impressive. It's just a fundamentally solid Pokemon stats and ability-wise. Blaziken is a Pokemon I'm sure a lot of you have some emotional attachment to, which is why this one's gonna be extra fun to talk about. Okay, this one isn't nearly as bad as Typhlosion, thanks to a little something-something we in the industry call a Mega Evolution and the Ability Speed Boost. Blaziken is the first of many firefighting starter Pokemon. While Gen 3 was known for its absurd number of mixed attackers that are mediocre at some things instead of being good at even one thing, Blaziken managed to make it work in the long run. Its stats weren't terrible, with acceptable bulk, good offenses, and 80 speed, but when it got its hidden ability Speed Boost, this only made it more threatening, since by clicking Swords Dance, it could end up with a doubled attack stat and a 50% increased speed stat by the end of the turn. It was just really easy to get going in singles. Only thing is, this doesn't always translate great into doubles. At least not until it got access to its mega form. This form would have a massive 160 attack stat and base 100 speed rather than 80. It would even manage to keep speed boost as an ability, allowing for it to invest more heavily into its bulk, as outspeeding everything by the end of turn 1 was a foregone conclusion. Mega Blaziken was vulnerable to getting shut down by Pokemon like Intimidate, Landorus, Therion, but by pairing it with Bisharp, who would get an attack boost thanks to Defiant, it was able to punish any Landorus switch-ins effectively. Yeah, nice switch-in, dude. Here's a Flare Blitz and plus 1 Sucker Punch. Good luck surviving that. Blaziken would go on to lose its mega form and accomplish very little from that point onward. The tools it brought to the table just weren't enough to cut it in the increasingly power crept metagames of Generation 8 and Generation 9. While it would take some time, it did eventually find a new niche. It would have some use in Gen 9 VGC just because it had access to coaching as well as speed boost. This would allow for it to grant attack and defense boost to partner Pokemon like Rillaboom, Dragapult, or even Dragonite. While not a common Pokemon by any means in this format, it did do stuff in Regulation H specifically, so it's worth mentioning. That's gonna be a theme, by the way. Regulation H is basically the only format where a lot of these Pokemon got something done. Due to its lack of current relevance and decent competitive history, I'm gonna go ahead and put it at the top of B tier. Infernape is a Pokemon that I'm sure a lot of you have some emotional attachment to, which is why this one's gonna be extra fun to talk about. This Pokemon's results are actually pretty shocking in comparison to Blaziken, since while it's the same type, you'd imagine the Pokemon with the higher speed stat and access to Fake Out to be inherently stronger in doubles. But generally speaking, Infernape isn't nearly as successful as Blaziken was overall. Infernape was granted a base 108 speed stat, which is more than enough to outspeed Pokemon like Landorus Incarnate and makes it the second fastest fire starter overall, but just having 104 attack and special attack isn't enough to make the cut even back then, to be honest. That being said, it did find some success in restricted formats over the years, where it's been able to click Fake Out and threaten close combat or low kicks into heavy restricted Pokemon. And down the road, it would start to run Quick Guard since that high 108 speed stat let it easily block every other Fake Out Pokemon in the game up until that point. Besides that, there's really not much to say about Infernape. It was a mid Pokemon with an awful ability in Iron Fist and a pretty decent move pool. It goes right into C tier. So YouTube decided that last time I uploaded this video, I didn't deserve any money. There was a bug that made it so there were no ads running on any of the videos that I would have uploaded on 7-28, aka Monday, which is why you're watching this re-upload with this bonus section included. Here is my tier list within my tier list of how good of a pet I think that the fire starter Pokemon would be. Ronnie, all right, you know what would make a bad pet? My cat right now that won't stay off my computer. Charizard, I'm honestly not entirely sure it'd make a good pet. Ash could hardly control his. So I'm actually going to put Charizard into D tier. Also, we're going to remove E tier because there's no such thing as an E tier on a tier list. Like, what are you doing? Who made this? Typhlosion. You know what? And here's the thing with the fire starters, right? You need to keep in mind that, like, they're fire starters. They shoot fire out of their body in some way, shape, or form. And you have to keep that in mind because if you leave the gas stove on in the middle of the night, like, you know, something worse is going to happen than just, like, you know, a gas leak. Like, your house is gone. I am a little more leaning towards him being a good pet, and that's because he's like a weasel and not like a giant flying lizard. And he might seem a little intense, but I feel like his anger issues aren't that bad. So, Blaziken. Now, Blaziken, I would argue, is probably among the most chill of the fire starters. I'm going to go ahead and put him in A. And I'm not even a big Blaziken fan. I'm somewhat of a Blaziken hater. I just don't like the design. But being so for real, this is one of the few fire starters that doesn't actively have flames coming out of them. Blaziken's just a chicken. And he's got hands. He's got feet. Like, this dude could help you get groceries. I would argue is probably about the same tier as Typhlosion. Maybe B. Because Infernape could get you. It could help you get groceries. But he is also a monkey. And monkeys, like, the older they get, the harder they are to control. Embor. Embor's a pig. Now, Embor, this is going to be controversial. I would put Embor above Blaziken. And the reason is, while he does have the flames coming out of his face, right, which does make it unsafe, he is also capable of helping you get the groceries. I'm really putting a lot of weight on this whole grocery shopping thing. I don't know why. But he's capable of helping with the groceries, you know? But also, pigs are extremely intelligent. Like, this guy would remember your favorite color. Gen 6, we have Delphox. Now, Delphox is going to go into... I'm going to put it above Infernape, but below Blaziken. And the reason for this is... I know that Delphox is a psychic type, which makes it, like, highly intelligent. But I also feel like it would be like a cat, in that a lot of the time, your cat probably just doesn't want to hang out with you. My cat loves me. I raised him since he was a kitten. Like, he's literally sitting on my feet right now. But... Delphox as a Pokemon, I feel like it's going to be the least social of them, and it's mostly just going to, like, be the sort of pet that would sit in, like, the recliner in the corner of the room reading, like, Vogue magazine and just kind of ignoring you most of the day. It pains me to say this, but Incineroar might straight up be the best roommate of all time. Best pet, because it doubles as a roommate, but not, like, the roommate who doesn't like you. Incineroar is, like, a pet and a roommate, and they like you. Incineroar seems like just a genuinely kind guy. You know, he's got, like, the pro wrestling thing going on, according to the Pokedex. Like, he's, you know, he's great with kids. He's got hands. He's got feet. He's, like, roughly the height of a human. So, like, you could reasonably, like, expect him to function in society if you asked him to go out and grab your groceries for you. The grocery thing's getting overplayed. But yeah, he's probably the best one. I'm not sure where to place Cinderace, because I feel like Cinderace is sort of the midpoint between Delphox and Incineroar, where Incineroar is the helpful pet that is also like a roommate, and Delphox is the unhelpful pet that's sort of like a roommate. I feel like Cinderace is, like, right in between, where it's like, it could be helpful. It could be, like, a nice pet to have around. But in reality, what's going to end up happening is he's going to get, like, distracted. Like, he's the sort of roommate that, like, leaves his dishes out. Okay, there he is. So, Skeledirge, right? Skeledirge, I am putting at the top of S tier. Because his Pokemon card art is literally him helping with groceries. Embor is a Pokemon I'm sure none of you have some emotional attachment to, which is why this one isn't going to be very fun to talk about. Guys, we're at the third fire fighting type in a row. I'm getting bored talking about them. I'm curious how it took this long for Game Freak to get bored making them. Just how well do you expect this thing to have performed over the years? They already made the fast frail attacker, and they already made the all-arounder, so what's left? That's right, the big chunky wide man. Embor has been afflicted with curse of high HP and low defense, but its high HP just isn't that high, to be honest. Like, back then, maybe it was, but today, Annihilape has better stats across the board, but it still gets to have 110 HP with no drawback. The best I can do to explain why they did this is that they were thinking Emboar was probably going to be clicking Flare Blitz quite a bit, so they wanted it to be balanced and decided to give it high HP to click it as much as they want with minimal recoil, and low speed so as to not have it outpace and one-shot everything. Is Emboar's damage output impressive? Yes, but only after its ability Reckless, which grants recoil moves a 20% boost in power. But if it's not clicking Flare Blitz, it's just got a pretty decent 123 attack stat. Is that good? Yeah, but not good enough to give it this low of speed and bulk. There's practically no reason to run it over Infernape or Blaziken, so basically no one did after all these years. Well, except for Wolf on his 6th place 2011 World Championship team. Is 6th place at Worlds incredible? Yes, but this is definitely just like a Wolfy moment, right? I think the fact that Emboar had to be carried by Wolf to get a result is more a testament to its lack of viability, to be honest. D tier. Delphox better be happy I decided to make this video in 2025 instead of 2024, because had I decided to write this any sooner, this section would be even shorter than it's about to be. Delphox was the first fire starter in 3 generations to not be a fighting type and ended up being psychic type, but it also broke the long-running chain of mixed attacking fire type starters. Rather than having its base stats be split down the middle and let it be mediocre at 2 things, it's now good at 1, which is more than most Pokemon can say, to be honest. Getting right to the point, it didn't really accomplish anything up until late 2024. This is because Regulation H banned every single legendary Pokemon from the format, leaving speed tiers far lower and more middling stat Pokemon viable for once. One of these Pokemon just happened to be Delphox, who magically became the best Expanding Force spammer in the format for a very short time, roughly 1 month. 104 speed is enough to get the job done, and 114 special attack is cutting it even closer. Yeah, you've got the multipliers from stab, terrain, and a life orb, but it was really the Terra Psychic that got Delphox over the finish line, where it could pick up 2 one-hit KOs against the team in 1 turn. Was it only able to accomplish this thanks to Indeedee and Psychic Seed Sneasler carrying it for the entire format? Maybe. But let's not take this away from them, it's literally Delphox's only good format. It never won a major this format, but you did have to look out for it, and it was something that people were preparing for, and that's better than nothing. Rather than doing a whole Incineroar section in this video where I inevitably repeat things that I've said a million times and you've known for years, I think now is just a good time to get into our daily detour. I am here with Chupacross the 4th. Are you doing?
Doing good. I hear we're going to talk about Incineroar today.
Yeah, so Incineroar is what we in the industry refer to as quite possibly the GOAT. But
it wasn't an industry plant.
It was literally an industry plant. Like, the more we get into it, we're going to explain today why Incineroar was an industry plant.
I think it's fun to call things plants.
It is really fun to call things plants.
It's fun to doubt other people's success or other dark and fire types.
Such as Houndoom? Yeah, no, they were really trying to bring Houndoom down. Pokemon have these things called abilities, and then they have these other things called hidden abilities. Now, hidden abilities aren't hidden in the, ooh, you're gonna have to go find it. They're usually hidden in the, you'll get them when you get them, and we decide when you get them. Incineroar was one of these Pokemon. Primarina had a good one. Liquid Voice. Decidueye had an awful one. Long Reach, and Incineroar had the best one, and it was Intimidate. Now, originally, people were like, oh, Incineroar is like probably a good Pokemon, like before we had Intimidate, because we knew we were getting it. It was like Blaze. And then eventually we got it, and the entire format changed. So Chuppa is here because Chuppa's old, and Chuppa's going to help us recount what the format was like before Incineroar.
Beforehand, the teams... I guess like a lot of the Pokemon do look kind of the same, but you have... like. Slightly less respect for Intimidate, of course. Like Landorus-Therion is everywhere, but Landorus-Therion is also something that's like kind of a lot easier to knock out. Like Ice type moves are absolutely everywhere in this format. Mm-hmm. This is, again, remember, this is like before Dynamax, before being able to change your Terra type. So if you see a Landorus, it is vulnerable to Ice type moves. Incineroar is a lot more difficult to knock out by the format standards. Incineroar was not a Pokemon that people like. The way that we think about Incineroar right now is not the way we thought about Incineroar right after it dropped. So you're saying like, oh, Incineroar a lot of the time isn't running attack investment, or it's like kind of just maybe it's going to hit you with Flare Blitz. At the time, a lot of the Incineroars were like pretty offensive, and a lot of them were doing things like you would do Fake Out, Flare Blitz, Knock Off. Those are obviously very good. Like, how are you running this guy without a pivoting move? It's got like pivoting moves are just like so essential to the way this Pokemon plays. But initially it was like, no, you're running with a lot of attack, you're going to fake out, and then you're going to slug at your opponent with a big Flare Blitz and knock off. And honestly, pretty good coverage for the format. It's not even like Incineroar felt terrible doing that kind of stuff.
The highest placing Incineroar at Charlotte Regionals wasn't running U-Turn, it was running Snatch. Yeah, you would be snatching opposing Tailwind, and in this format, sometimes you would snatch Belly Drum from Snorlax just to block it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would run like Figgy Berry anyways on Incineroar.
When you're talking about it, you have to bring up the Pokemon that it enables to.
Yeah.
Because it is like, doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Yeah, it was both an enabler and like a sort of counter to Snorlax in that it was like, I fake you out on the Trick Room turn, so you can't Trick Room and go for Belly Drum at the same time, and also I intimidate you, and also maybe I snatch you and take your Belly Drum. He did a lot.
Don't forget about knockoff, like
and knockoff, yeah.
Berry potentially, like yeah, if it
because you can't recycle the berry if it gets knocked off.
I was trying to Belly Drum, yeah.
Yeah, if you knock off the berry, like recycle just stops working, which is really important because like most of the Snorlax right now had recycle.
Knock off, like I don't know, unless you're hitting, you know, obviously there's a lot of like knock off immune Pokemon with like the Mega and the Z move user on most teams, so there are going to be knock immune things. But a lot of those Pokemon that like aren't straight up knock immune, you are taking one of these berries off, and your opponent is not happy about it. Before Incineroar came out, like we had memes like the genies of healthy meta and that kind of thing. Like Landorus really was that guy before Incineroar, and now Landorus is sort of just like, yeah, he's relevant, but it's like, I don't know, talking about your granddad or something.
Like just like a glimpse into 2018, like right before and right after Incineroar came into prominence. I'm going to release like the whole chat on Patreon. That's going to be it for this. I appreciate you coming on, Chuppa. Cinderace is the yin to Delphox's yang. If Delphox was finally the first dedicated fast special attacking fire type, Cinderace was our first British fire type. This means that it's really into football. That felt weird. It's super fast at 119 speed, making it our fastest fire starter overall, and it has a solid 116 physical attack stat, meaning it's going to be able to move first and hit pretty hard, all without being a total glass cannon, as its bulk is actually pretty serviceable. Cinderace was known for its pretty high damage output off of its signature move, Pyro Ball. Pyro Ball was effectively a Flare Blitz clone that traded taking recoil damage for not making any contact at all and being slightly more inaccurate. Did it feel awful when you missed it? Yes, but there was no shot you'd actually want to trade that for having to worry about rough skin or losing a focus sash. Despite being the first pure fire starter since Generation 2, Cinderace kind of cheats by having the ability Libero. This ability causes Cinderace to change into whichever type of move it's about to use. This causes it to get a 50% boost in damage to literally every attack it has thanks to Stab. And this even allows for some pretty sneaky type changes to become immune to very particular attacks if you sense one incoming. Being a Gen 8 Pokemon, Cinderace was of course going to be a menace with Dynamax as an option, and with access to Max Knuckle to boost its attack, and Max Airstream off a Bounce to speed boost past every Pokemon in the game, it was pretty easy to slot Cinderace onto a lot of teams. It even eventually got access to a G-Max form, which let its Fire-type Max move bypass all abilities. Cinderace was a solid Pokemon overall for the entirety of Gen 8, but it was never an outright top tier. As Generation 9 rolled out, we found out that the abilities Libero and Protean would be nerfed to only change the users into the type of the first move that they use when they hit the field. This limited the effectiveness of Life Orb Cinderace sets, since if you decided to use a coverage move, you would lose out on Stab Pyro Ball until you switched. So choice band sets with U-Turn became more common among those players who still ran this Pokemon, though that number of players would be pretty limited as most people dropped it for more powerful offensive fire types introduced in Generation 9 VGC like Hisuian Arcanine or Chiyu. Overall, Cinderace's career has been pretty solid with a big bump in the road right here in Generation 9, so let's just leave him with B tier overall, right alongside Blaziken. Skeledirge has had a very short time to prove itself in competitive Pokemon, but it's done pretty well up until this point. As a fire ghost type who finally manages to strike the right balance between offense and bulk that actually allows it to survive hits, Skeledirge has found multiple use cases in Gen 9 VGC formats. In Regulation A, it was the premier Dondozo counter by using its ability Unaware to ignore Dondozo's stat changes and fire back for huge damage with Shadow Ball against Dondozo's very low special defense stat. In Regulation F, it was able to wall out Iron Hands while burning it with Will-O-Wisp and recovering all of its health back with Slack Off, and over every format, it's just been a pretty consistent niche pick that can threaten to sleep things with Yawn while sitting on the field against setup Pokemon. Scaldurge also has access to one of the most broken signature moves in the game in the form of Torch Song, a move which boosts its special attack stat by one stage every time it's used, and even activates the Throat Spray item since it's a sound-based move. This means that Throat Spray Scaldurge is able to double its special attack in just one turn. Scaldurge has never been a top tier, but its survivability combined with its tendency to make appearances in even the most hostile of formats lead me to believe that it's going to have a long and successful career down the road. Let's throw him right at the top of B tier. Actually, let's bump him to A tier. He's canonically Mexican. With that, our tier list is as follows. Emboar sits at D tier, Typhlosion, Delphox, and Infernape sit at C tier, Cinderace and Blaziken are in B tier, Skeledirge and Hisuian Typhlosion are comfy in A tier, and in S tier, head and shoulders above everything else in this video, are Charizard and Incineroar. But what do you think about my rankings? Do you agree or disagree, and should I have moved things around? Let me know in the comment section below. If you enjoyed this video at any point in time, be sure to leave a like and subscribe. It'd mean the world to me. If you want to support me further, you can check out my Patreon page or become a YouTube channel member by clicking the join button below the video. This gets you sneak peeks at future videos, bonus content, and access to my supporter only Discord server where you can hang out and team build with other community members. You also see your name at the end of all my videos like all these lovely people. Special thanks to my most boosted supporters Avatar67 and LilithLiligant for the generous pledges. Another way to support me is to check out all the videos in the playlist on screen right now. I know you'll find something in there that you'll enjoy. I also have a second channel where I talk about the current VGC metagame trends, and I stream on both Twitch and YouTube Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. CST. Thank you all for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye.